Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, Mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law.
Got miles to go before we sleep.
Lawman is putting an end to my running, and I'm so far from my.
We will not go gently. We're going to unleash hell here in December.
Oh, Mama, I can hear you a crying. You're so scared and all alone.
Hey, somebody fix this guy's buckle.
I'm
going to play football.
Coming down from the gallows, and I don't have very long.
I'm here with Chris Carter. If you were with us before, we had a little technical glitch, so hopefully you're still listening to us. And we were talking about the state of the Steelers' defense, and it's pretty much a laundry list, and it was sad this week because Chris Carter and I, and we had a caller in earlier, were coming up with what was the worst part of the Steelers' defense. And when you can't decide because there were so many horrible aspects, you know there's a problem. We came up with inability to cover tight ends, incompetence against the run, poor tackling technique, and I'm sure there are even more. I mean, just general incompetence on the defensive side of the ball, and also inability to make some big game-changing plays, which they were able to do in previous weeks. So, Chris, we had started talking about the offense before we experienced our glitch, and I just, you know, let's recap some positives from the offense before we go ahead and slam Landry Jones and other players who drop the ball, so to speak. What do you see as positives on the offensive side of the ball, Chris?
Oh, well, for one thing, like I was saying before we lost our show, the Le'Veon Bell ran hard yet again, 121 yards. He was truly a force for the offense. He ran through things, and I'll tell you what. Yes, the sack broke the Steelers back at the end of the game. That forced a fumble on Landry Jones. But, I mean, all in all, the offensive line looked decent out there. They gave Landry Jones a lot of time throughout the game. I thought we were going to be under siege against this defensive front and that Landry Jones is going to have to make quick pre-snap reads to try and get it out, especially with Charlie Villanueva. And I just read a tweet from Mark Caboli saying that Ben was sort of just talking to Villanueva and trying to keep his head up because Villanueva knows that his missed block was what ended the game basically for Pittsburgh. But all in all, I mean, Marcus Gilbert had a really good game, I thought. The interior line did a really solid job, and Roosevelt Nix continues to prove why he's now the starting fullback. He threw some key blocks in this game, I thought those are some things to take from it. Martavis Bryant made some plays out there. AB made some plays out there. And to be honest, I'm not slamming Landry Jones. He's a third-string quarterback. You can't expect him to be amazing or come out and go 8-for-12 and throw 2 touchdown passes like he did, and no interceptions like he did last week. It was a tough situation. But, you know, the offense, they made some mistakes here and there in football. That can be what kills you when you have such a limited ceiling with your third string.
I completely agree with you. It was a third string, and there was as much as I love D'Angelo Williams, and I was excited to see him in there on more snaps. He dropped a critical pass that he needed to hang on to, and furthermore, without Beecham, I mean, we are missing a lot of key players between Ben Roethlisberger, Marquise Pouncey, Kelvin Beecham out last week, and everybody's a huge fan of Villanueva. He is a great player, but he is a novice player. He is not Beecham. And also because he's not Beecham, he's not getting penalties on every snap. But all that said, we are down not just our quarterback, but other key players who can help us in those critical situations. So I still think we could have won the game, but I also think it's not the end of the world because we're dealing with loss of critical personnel.
Oh, heavens no. It's not even close to the end of the world. I mean, at the end of the day, the Steelers are 4-3. A lot of people didn't think that we would get two wins without Ben Roethlisberger. Let alone one win against Ben Roethlisberger without Ben Roethlisberger. I think this is kind of what's to be expected. You know, Ben's out. You know, the team has to. A lot of other people have to rise up, and it's not easy to do that when you have a guy that this offense was designed around. And Landry Jones, again, this is his first ever start in the NFL. He has never really looked good in preseason games. He's going up against a top-end pass rush. The Chiefs haven't been really good this year, but, you know, they still got talented players. Tom Bailey and Justin Houston are some bad dudes, and so is Dontari Poe. Marcus Peters was out there. I said that in a preview article from our film room that the Steelers should attack the secondary. I think that they should have done it more, but Sean Smith was out there fighting hard against Antonio Brown, though Brown did have a decent day. He went 6 catches for 124 yards on 8 targets. The mistakes kill you. In the red zone, when D'Angelo Williams dropped that pass you mentioned, that was a huge drop that could have extended a drive and gotten an early touchdown, and that would have changed the entire outlook of the game, getting a touchdown instead of 3 points. The interception where Landry Jones threw it to the middle linebacker, he just didn't see him. That's not something that's excusable, but it's one of those things that, you know, those type of mistakes are going to happen with a person like Landry Jones at the quarterback position. And then the second interception, it was a good tip by Johnson. I think he would be a big, I think he was a big piece for the Chiefs today in their victory with an interception and a tip that led to another interception. Those are the kind of mistakes that, you know, if your defense isn't able to get some turnovers, it's not going to be an easy win. I'm not really upset. I don't think that for anyone that's crushed by this loss, I'd say get over it. We are, the Steelers are 4-3. They still get to face the Bengals twice. And Ben Roethlisberger hopefully will be back next week. If the Steelers are 4-6 going into the bye, then I would be worried. But they got 3 games at home: Bengals, Raiders, Browns, and I think that there's still a lot of upswing to how the team is looking. And Martavis Bryant still looks like he's a serious weapon. It's just a matter of being able to capitalize on the other team's mistakes. Steelers didn't do it; Chiefs did. I'm not crushed by this loss, and if anyone is, talk to me about it because I don't think this is that huge. Danny, there?
Yeah, I'm there. It looked like we had a caller, and the caller disappeared. But if you do want to call in, you can call 347-850-8581, and we'll be happy to hear your thoughts on the game. But one thing that bothered me, I was on the Twitter feed during the game, and I was hoping that the Patriots were going to lose to the Jets because I don't like the Patriots. And a lot of people were already talking about the wild card and the Jets need to lose. But honestly, anything can happen. It is so early in the season. We're just shy of halfway, but there's still plenty of time for teams to implode. There's plenty of time for teams to make adjustments. We're playing without Ben Roethlisberger, without Marquise Pouncey. Todd Haley has had to adjust his strategy and game almost every week since the Rams, when Ben Roethlisberger fell to his knee injury. So for me, it's too early in the season to even be looking ahead to the wild card. It's just too soon because while I don't think the Patriots are going to start losing a whole lot of games, the Jets have certainly demonstrated their lack of consistency. They can be awesome and they can look Jets-ish. Same thing with the Bills. So I think we all do need to chill out a little bit. It was good to see Boswell playing as consistently as he did again. I thought that certain aspects of the offensive line were much better than past weeks. I thought some of their run blocking was more effective. So I think once Roethlisberger comes back, they should be able to, I mean, they are demonstrating some positive skills, and I think with Roethlisberger's experience, particularly in the no huddle, his accuracy, his ability to perform under pressure, I think that that's going to bode very, very well for the Steelers. And you know, a lot of our difficult teams that we thought we were going to have to face, like the Seahawks after that bye week, aren't looking that scary anymore.
I agree. And to be honest, there's no reason to even looking at the wild card. You know, like you said, it's way too early. It is way too early. The Bengals, they're undefeated, and they're coming off of a bye week right now. But by no means should we just assume that they're going to stay like this. Andy Dalton is still Andy Dalton, and these still are the Bengals. You know, the Steelers are 2.5 games back of them right now. I believe it's 2.5 games back. It's 2.5. That's right. They're 2.5 games back because of the bye week. And they still got two games with Cincinnati. Cincinnati has a lot of games ahead of them. They have to face the Cardinals. I believe they still have to face the Rams. This isn't no walk in the park for the Bengals. You know, whether or not what the Patriots do does not really factor into what the Steelers are looking at, unless, you know, the Steelers get into a hunt for a first round seed or the first overall seed and possibly a bye. But you know, the Steelers, they're in the hunt as much as anybody else right now. You know, it looks like the Broncos and the Patriots are the two of the top seeds, with the Bengals right in that mix. But I mean, the Colts don't they're continuing to struggle. They haven't grabbed a hold of their division, and no one in the AFC North seems to want to challenge the Steelers for the second spot. The Browns continue to falter, and the Ravens are, you know, I think they're struggling with the whole, you know, they couldn't afford to pay anybody, so now they're sort of in rebuilding mode while Joe Flacco is getting paid lots of money. A lot of things to look at. The Steelers, they have the one thing that they need to look at is how they're going to win next week. You know, will Ben be ready? And if he's not, you know, you got to have Landry Jones hope he can put out a better performance, and the defense is going to really have to put the clamps down on Andy Dalton.
I completely agree. That's going to be a tough game, and I think it's going to say both a lot about the Steelers and a lot about the Bengals, because part of me is thinking maybe the Bengals' collapse is just delayed because they have had some strong starts to the season. This is an anomaly. I don't know the source of their collapses. I'm assuming it could be karma. It could be, oh my gosh, I can't believe we've won this many games. Let's go choke. But I think that next week, and it's weird saying this about the Bengals because typically we get so fired up about the Ravens, but I do think when we play the Bengals, that's going to be one of the biggest games for us of the entire year, and I think it's really going to set the tone for the rest of our season and also the Bengals. You know, is this just going to be one loss for them if or when we win? Or is that going to be the start of a Bengals-esque collapse, which would render the wild card conversation somewhat moot, just because if they do collapse, it's possible the Steelers could pass them in terms of the AFC North standings. And, of course, as you said, you know, Cleveland lost today to the Rams 24-6. You have Baltimore playing Arizona, and I doubt Arizona is going to lose again after what happened against the Steelers. Plus, Arizona's had a long time to prepare. I mean, that's a Monday night game, and I'm not sure that Baltimore, I think preparation helps, but I think Arizona will learn from the mistakes they made against the Steelers and come back even stronger against Baltimore. So, yeah, I mean, back to the original point, I think everybody needs to kind of chill out, realize we just finished week 7. It's too early to get obsessed with standings and potential wild card spots, because really anything can happen.
Indeed, anything can happen and anything will happen. It's going to be there's a lot of questions to go in. I think moving forward, you know, people are going to talk about Ben Roethlisberger. I'm really interested to see what happens with the secondary. Does Antoine Blake take a step back? I'm not sure if he will. I think that the Steelers know what he brings to the table, and you know, they expect more from him. I think there's a reason, you know, that Boykin is not seeing the field as much, and it's not about his talent. I think it's about they're trying to protect the conditionary pick that they got with the Eagles in the trade. I think there's, you know, you have to, I really want to see what happens with Stephon Tuitt. Him being out, I think, was a big liability on the defense this week, and we saw it with how they were we saw how they were how the Chiefs had a lot more running success today, and that was without Jamal Charles. And I was even surprised that it wasn't Niles Davis taking handoffs. West did a really solid job. He ran hard, and he took some shots. The Steelers came, but you know, but like I said, you know, you're not going to be perfect every game. The defense wasn't atrocious. It wasn't horrible. It was just, you know, the Chiefs made some plays, but I mean, the defense held them to three field goals early in the game. I think did they get four field goals before they scored their first touchdown? You know, that's the kind of stuff that good defenses do. They force you to have to make those plays in the red zone. The Chiefs didn't early. They did late. And that, you know, that got them over the top. But, you know, it's tough to call on a defense to make, you know, play after play after play when the offense isn't giving them a whole lot of help.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that's, I think it was an upsetting game, and I guess I just keep thinking of ways to make it okay. But in the end, it was disappointing, especially because Kansas City was a 1-5 team. Although, if you look at their games, they had some very strong ones. It was just a lot of times I think they beat themselves. Like the last minute Jamal Charles fumble, that game was theirs to win, and they lost that game off of a mistake. So, to Kansas City's credit, you know, they came in prepared and they needed to win. It was a desperate situation for them, and they pulled one out.
Yeah, they pulled it out, and I mean, you know, the Chiefs, they've had a lot of struggles this year, and I mean, Jamal Charles being out really puts them in a tough spot. But you know, again, like I said, these are all professional teams; they can make plays too, and they did. Alex Smith is a starter in this league, and there's a reason for it, and he was making pre-snap reads. He's not a great quarterback. He doesn't have an amazing arm, but up top, I think in the head, he makes the pre-snap reads. He makes the adjustments. He can call out the blitzes, and he can see into your defense. He wasn't perfect today either. He had some missed throws. He took some sacks. But the Chiefs, they came out. They made enough plays to give themselves a lead. And the Steelers' offense wasn't able to really put it together. You saw that they had several good run plays that put it in there, but it just looked like at one point or another, you know, they were doing too much of one thing and maybe not enough of another when they were running. I mean, there was one time I think they ran the ball 8 straight times, and then then another time where they kept throwing the ball or they weren't giving it to Le'Veon Bell. So lots of things, but I do understand we have a caller.
Yeah, and speaking of not giving the ball to Le'Veon Bell, we have a caller from North Carolina, and he's going to talk about a factor that we have neglected, which is Mike Tomlin. So, Terrell, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm a little peeved still just watching this game. You know, I go online after the Steelers games and even during the games and look at the various tweets and stuff, and I've been one to give Tomlin the benefit of the doubt, but I'm beginning to see now what people have been talking about really for the last couple of years with this team's lack of preparation for teams that they really should be able to beat.
You're saying that the team looked I'm sorry, was there a question there?
From the standpoint of, you know, the team, as far as play calling, I mean, when you're on the road and your defense for the last 4 weeks, really going all the way back to the Rams game, that kept you in every one of these games, you've got to figure going into this game that as great as this defense has been playing, that there may be some letdown. So why do you not take the field goal when you get there in there and drive and you go for it on fourth down and you miss it when you're clearly in field goal range? I think that can be a little deflating for a defense. I mean, it may be only 3 points, but even the time management, when you get to the second half and you've already wasted 2 timeouts and then on the last drive that resulted in a fumble, I mean, there's no sense of urgency. I mean, granted, you're playing with a third-string quarterback, but, I mean, the Chiefs have had just as many injuries. And when you look at who's playing on both sides, who are eligible, the Steelers are a better team, and no way that they look like it. I mean, I blame it not only on Tomlin, but the whole coaching staff.
I wouldn't say the Steelers weren't prepared coming into this game. The play calls were there. I mean, you can't strategize to say, hey, D'Angelo Williams, catch this ball in the red zone. He just has to make that play, and he didn't. You know, the tip pass ended up being an interception. The play was there. I think Landry Jones just underthrew it a little bit, and Johnson got his hand on the ball, and then AP wasn't able to pull it in. That's not strategy. That's not preparation. The play was there. The Chiefs made a solid effort, and then Eric Berry made a great interception on the other end. You know, and then the drop interception that they had at the goal line, you know, Sean Smith had a good play on the ball. Landry Jones just missed. The play was there. The opportunity was there, but he missed. But, again, he's a third-string quarterback making his first NFL start. And here's another thing that people got to keep in check. Not only a third-string quarterback, it's Landry Jones. I thought that before this season, if Landry Jones ever had a special field, we were a doomed team because he was going to be as bad as Kent Graham, Mike Tomczak. Pick a bad quarterback that's had to play backup for the Steelers in the past. I thought he would be the absolute worst, and he hasn't. He's able to make some plays, but at the same time, you know, it does handicap your offense quite a bit. You know, he can make some pre-snap reads, but he can't make do what Ben does. He can't make the adjust. He doesn't have the relationship with his receiver and lineman that Ben does. So to expect perfection every week, I think you got to temper that back. Were there mistakes today? Yes, I did think that there was an issue with why I was questioning why we weren't moving quicker in the fourth quarter when we were down and we had the ball. We had the ball with down two scores and the clock was ticked. But maybe part of that was Landry Jones was trying to keep it together. Who knows? And maybe the Steelers are like, well, we don't have the timeouts. We're going to have to go for an onside kick anyway. Let's try to be sure and try to get this touchdown instead of rushing and maybe making a mistake. And Landry Jones, he got hit with a good pressure by Tamba Ali. Villanueva just didn't move his feet. He put his head down. Cardinal sins of an offensive tackle in the NFL. And you know they got penalized for it. But a lot of people are always quick to blame Tomlin and the coaching staff, and Colbert, and Butler, or LeBeau when it was him. You know, you coach the players, you come up with a scheme. The Steelers didn't execute their scheme to the best, but especially on offense, it's tough to expect them to do that. And I'll tell you what, Landry Jones, did he get sacked twice today? Was it two sacks that he got? And that's the Chiefs. They got two Pro Bowl outside linebackers in Tamba Ali and Justin Houston, and a pretty good defensive line, and some pretty good middle linebackers. I think all that in regards, the offense wasn't atrocious. They weren't good. I think they were about average, especially with what you consider. But I would not put this on game planning or Mike Tomlin not getting the job done. If anything, I think Mike Tomlin and the Steelers staff is doing a great job managing how many injuries. Yes, the Chiefs are hurt up because they lost Charles and Macklin, but the Steelers lost Kelvin Beachum. They're still without Marquise Pouncey. They're on their fourth kicker this season. They're missing Stephon Tuitt. They're trying to mitigate so much, and they're missing the quarterback as well. You can only mitigate so many things before it does impact. And yes, next man up is the thing, but also going for forward on fourth down, you don't live in your fears. I was all for the going forward on fourth down because that's saying the offense, hey, I still believe in you guys. You got to get the job done. They didn't. Kansas City made the play, but it's not saying you're scared. It's not really saying, hey, defense, you know, I don't believe in you guys. It's saying, hey, offense, I believe in you guys. So I'm not down about the play calling or the game planning. I think that the biggest mistakes came from the guy that, you know, the quarterback that, you know, you couldn't expect to be immaculate today.
I understand that, but one last point of when you say not living in your fears, there are times when that comes back to bite you. I mean, you got to understand that you're on the road, and granted, you know, the Chiefs aren't what we all thought they would be this year. But in that stadium and with those pass rushers, you said it yourself. I mean, he was only sacked twice today. So it wasn't that the offense played extremely bad with all the mistakes that were made, but they didn't coach this game. And when you're on the road, I still believe in the old adage, there are times where you take the point. You can't just always, like it was pointed out a few weeks ago when Tomlin said, well, I play these things whether or not to go for it on fourth down by my gut. There's just some things, you know, as a head coach, you got to make a decision with your head more times than you do with just your gut, you know, because your gut will get you in trouble. And I think that changed the whole complexion of the game, because I think if they get 3 points there, the offense goes back to the sideline and says, well, it wasn't a wasted drive, as well as it keeps the defense motivated. But when you drive down there and you walk away with nothing, and they stop you on a fourth and one, I mean, that fires up the defense. That fires up their offense coming back out on the field.
Right. But
I have to agree. I agree with that.
It's tough to second guess. I mean, you can say, well, they should have done that all the time after they do it. But the Steelers have been aggressive all year. If they took that similar approach and said, hey, against the Chargers when they had like a few seconds on the clock at the 1 yard line with no timeout, you know, with one timeout and the possibility, if they do that, we might not have a win there. We might be 3-4 instead of 4-3. There's a lot of things to you can always second guess somebody. I like aggressive coaching, especially when you have a good team. And when you make a call like that, you're saying, I believe in you guys. When you don't get it done, yes, it comes back to bite you. But he said, listen, I'm going to try and tell my offense, hey, you can make it happen. Chuck Knoll did the same thing in Super Bowl X. When the Steelers had the ball and Terry Bradshaw was out, they ran it on fourth down at midfield and gave the Steelers defense a short field to work with, but they ended up making the play. And the defense said they appreciated that because they said, hey, he trusts us. He says, I'd rather take you guys over a special team goof any day of the week. And I think in this situation, it's the same thing. You've got to be aggressive. You've got to go out there and try to win the game. And there's several times where, yeah, okay, being aggressive does cost you, but being too conservative costs you. And we saw that for years under Cowher and I think with Tomlin in certain situations. You play to win the game, and I think that's what they needed to do. It didn't work. It didn't work that one time. But also remember, they converted on fourth down earlier that game to sustain the drive.
Is a bit unfair because you're talking about an all-time defense going all the way back to Super Bowl X, as opposed to measuring it up with this defense. And there's not a comparison. I mean, I've been a Steelers fan for the past 45 years, and I've seen all the big games. I watch them every time they come on TV. So that wasn't a fair comparison.
It's not a comparison of personnel. It's a comparison of play call. That's all it is.
Right, and I agree with you even with the San Diego call. I mean, down there, I mean, you know, was it a gutsy call? Doggone right, it was a gutsy call. But at the same time, there was still an element of surprise there because on the other sideline, the common logic is that they're either going to take the timeout and kick the field goal, but they didn't. They went for it, so it was a little bit of element of surprise there as well as, let's face it, a great block by the guard as well as, a heck of an effort on Ben's part to get in there.
And it was, but here's the thing. If they take the conservative route, which you said they should have today, you know, they kick a field goal, they go to overtime against the team in their house, you know, should Mike Tomlin not have gone with his guts there? Because I'm pretty sure the book would have said, hey, try to kick this field goal, get your points, and then hope that your defense can create a turnover because, you know, in overtime or get your offense a touchdown. I believe in being aggressive, especially when you have a good team. And like I said, it didn't work there. But to say that Mike Tomlin – to come after Mike Tomlin for believing in his guys, I think that that's just unfounded.
Well, the way the game played out, I mean, on that last drive, they're down by 10. You figure, I mean, yeah, we're talking hindsight, but I believe on the road at certain times and at this point in the season, the way that team has played and that defense has played over the last four games – keeping teams out of the end zone, you got to figure at some point the dam may break. You get the points, and if they get the points now, as opposed on that last drive, having to go down and try and get a touchdown or a field goal and come back for an onside kick, maybe it's different play calling because now you're playing to tie the game up if you get the touchdown. So, I mean, I guess we're going to have to agree to disagree on this one.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I think we look at it two different ways. At the end of the day, the team didn't get it done today, and you can say for whatever reason, but there's a lot of factors that come into that. Danny, what are your thoughts? Danny's not there. What's your name again, sir? Because I do appreciate
Terrell.
You calling in.
Terrell.
Terrell, thanks for calling in, man. And you are right about this. I think that the defense. It's a situation where they played really well, but I think it's one of those things where, like in baseball, when your pitchers don't get a lot of strikeouts, they get a lot of flyouts. Eventually, you know, an offense is gonna light that pitcher up when it's not their merits that are crushing. You know, they're doing a good job and they're handling the responsibilities. But eventually, good offenses and even not good offenses, if they make plays, you know, you're not going to look as great as you have. And I think that's what with the Steelers defense today, but I still wouldn't say that the defense played poorly. I think they did a good job keeping the team in it.
I do too. I think, you know, compared to, you know, how they laid it out on the line the last four games and keeping teams out of the end zone, even though we've given up, you know, a lot of yardage, so to speak, I still think the defense played well enough. I guess my frustration is just with, it seems like in games where we should win, and granted, even with all of our injuries, in comparison to the injuries that the Chiefs have suffered, I still think that the lineups that went out there today, we're a better team, and it just seems like against teams that we should beat, whether we're at home or on the road, it seems like we're coming out flat. And the only thing you can attribute that to, because this is going back over a few years, is it's coaching. And so what is it? I mean, I'm not downing Tom, you know, but sometimes things just need to be said. And it just seems like there are times where this team, for whatever reason, isn't as prepared or they don't look as prepared as they should be against teams that they should still beat.
I mean, but at the same time, other teams lose to teams that technically they should beat. What would you say about the Cardinals? They went up against a backup quarterback and who threw for 4 yards, and then a third-string quarterback who came in and tossed over their defense, who was supposed to be one of the best defenses in the league. And their offense, which was averaging 38 points a game, managed 13 points in that game against a secondary that I don't think has anyone the talent of Patrick Peterson in it. You know, I think it happens, you know. But there are times when teams lose to teams that other teams that don't have the same kind of talent. But that's the part of, that's a big part of the NFL. You know, some days you have it, some days you don't. I wouldn't say it's about poor preparation. The Steelers often come into games prepared. It's about executing on the field. Ryan Clark said it when the team started to struggle under Dick LeBeau. It's not about his coaching. It's about it's about executing the plays that are called. Thank you very much for your call, Terrell. Danny, what are your thoughts?
What I was thinking about the initial part, and I think they're two different situations, but the play calling that happened, it was the very first quarter of the Patriots game in week one when we could have gone play action. There's just so many normal plays the Steelers could have relied on, and instead they went for some absurd trick play that was a complete and total momentum killer. And I don't think what happened in terms of going for it on fourth down versus taking 3 points off of a field goal was at that level, but I do remember just the letdown, just as a fan sitting on my sofa, like, oh man, that was awful, and it really kind of set the tone for the rest of the game. On the other hand, I don't think that play could have worked. I didn't think it was absurd, and I also thought there were enough other mistakes during the game where the game didn't rest on that play failing. But we have another caller from Brooklyn, which is the place one of my favorite beers is. It's the Brooklyn Sriracha Ace Farmhouse Saison, which is an awesome beer. Very, very, yeah, from Brooklyn. And we have Bryce from Brooklyn who wants to talk about the Steelers secondary. So, Bryce, hey, thanks for calling.
Thank you. Hey, everyone. How you doing today?
Good.
Good, and yourself?
I guess we could be doing better with what happened in the game, but real quick, I do want to get to the secondary, but I want to just chime in about offensively. I actually wasn't too upset with Todd's play calling and the way that he kind of orchestrated the game. I was shocked the way they were able to run the ball, considering the way Kansas City just shut down Adrian Peterson. I thought, there was going to be no way we were going to be able to run it. They came out. They actually didn't just turtle it up. They threw it a little bit. You know, I wasn't upset at all with fourth and one going for it when you got the backs we have. And even with the waiver in, with the line we have, you got to be able to come off the football and get a yard. That's just inexcusable. You got to be able to make that happen. But I wasn't necessarily upset with the offense, aside from the back-breaking turnovers, which, you know, we just can't have when you're on your fourth-string quarterback. So, yeah, I just wanted to say that. I don't know if you had any thoughts with that before I got to the secondary, but
yeah, I'm hearing you on that. I mean, I think what happened, we probably had close to a perfect game out of Landry Jones for the amount of time he was in last week,
right.
And he is third string. He's not getting the same amount of practice. He doesn't have the same amount of experience as Ben Roethlisberger. So, given all the other mistakes, not just "Ooh, I'm sorry that didn't work out," or brilliant plays by Kansas City, we had some straight-up mistakes. And I think looking at the team's performance, you have to take those mistakes in the context of having our third-string guy in. There's not room for that on either side of the ball when you're starting somebody who's third-string. And I think in terms of expectation management, Steelers Nation went into the game thinking, wow, we totally misunderstood Landry Jones. He is a phenomenal quarterback. He could start for any
right.
team in the entire NFL. He is pretty much the second coming of Ben Roethlisberger, and he's not. He performed very inconsistently during the preseason. He's done poorly in training camp and preseason since he's been on the team, and he did a solid for us during the second half of last week's game, and I think he played as well as he could today. But the fact is he is a third-string player, and he needs every other unit to be completely phenomenal. And with Beecham hurt, with Pouncey out, it's just there's just too many obstacles, not to mention what happened in the secondary. And I know, Bryce, that's why you wanted to call in to talk about the secondary. So what is your assessment there?
You know, it's interesting because – and it kind of ties into just Keith Butler and the lineage of the way we've played defense. You know, I was a big fan of Ike even though he had zero ball skills and it really hurt him, but he could run. He would be in position. He could do all of those things. I like the way we fight. But it really just shows, and I don't know what you can do about this, the Steelers missed that well-rounded overall guy that can just be the guy to shut down the field, or at least a travel corner that whoever got, whatever guy on offense is getting off that game, he's going to get on you. You're not going to catch a pass. The secondary plays too passive. I understand we run a lot of the zone scheme. I like the way we're trying to attack with the front seven this year. Guys are a little bit better from a talent standpoint. But even when you have a little bit less talent, you got to be aggressive. You can't let these tight ends run around, not getting bumped every play. You can't let receivers that aren't elite just get anywhere they want to in their zones or get anywhere they want to in their routes. You got to come up and make these guys work. And we just don't do that consistently. And so, therefore, we're not able to create the kind of consistent plays on in the secondary that you can do to kind of turn back a team when you're playing with your, I look at a fourth-string quarterback in Landry Jones. I don't know, maybe we got to continue to address that in the draft. Maybe Golson will be that, but he's coming in next year. He'll be a rookie, basically,
mm-hmm.
so you don't know what
yep.
you're getting. I like Mike Mitchell. I think he was hurt, but I think he's got some of that talent that you have. But even from a safety standpoint, I like to see him more playing that Troy role where he can roam, you know, in the box. And we got to bring in either a dynamic roamer as a free safety who's going to get the football or a corner that's going to be that Pro Bowl caliber guy because we're missing that. I like the way we fight in the secondary, but we just don't have enough from a scheme standpoint because we play so passive.
Yeah,
that's my
I
take
agree.
On that.
I mean,
what do you
yeah,
guys think?
When they're playing, yeah, I think you're on it. When we play as soft as we do, there's not a lot of room for error because a mistake,
yes.
you know, when you're doing the bend, don't break, and you happen to make a mistake, it's catastrophic. But also speaking to the 2016 draft, this is the year of the defensive back. There are so many extraordinary D-backs, both cornerbacks and safeties and guys who can play both. They've got these Shazier-type linebacker-safety hybrids. This is a great, great year to need somebody either at cornerback or secondary, and I really hope that the Steelers invest in that. I know there's some issues going on the offensive line with several guys in a contract year, but I really think if we could get a true playmaker, particularly at safety,
right.
Not a replacement for Polamalu. Nobody can replace him. But there are some bigger guys. I know the Steelers generally like to bring in, you know, shorter cornerbacks, which I understand that they have more agility. They can get around a little bit better. But I think given the size of some of these tight ends and wide receivers, they could do well to draft a larger cornerback who still has a lot of speed and intelligence or go for a Troy Polamalu-like safety, and there are so many good options that even if we're picking towards the end of that first round, there's going to be guys on the table who could be plug and play, making a huge difference. I cannot overemphasize what a great year this is for defensive backs, and I really hope the Steelers take advantage of that.
Yeah, and I mean, I really couldn't – you know, it's funny you would say that because, once again, I think we can put Shazier kind of in this coverage conversation. Look, you draft that guy number one. He's an athletic freak. You got a guy like Mike Mitchell that's healthy. He's a guy that's known to be able to run and hit. Why do you not get these guys within 5 yards of these tight ends and say, you're going to spend time covering these guys. You make it tough on them wherever they go. It's like we're just always in catch mode. We're not dictating to the receivers. They dictate to us, and you're absolutely right. It leaves no room for error.
Yeah, and the other thing I was thinking about is just, you know, it reminds me a little bit when Todd Haley first became offensive coordinator, because a lot of people were very critical. It was a lot of screens. It was a lot of really safe plays. And I'm just wondering, just now that you're mentioning Shazier, and Mitchell is playing so much better without his groin shredded. I mean, he's actually looking pretty good. But with the level of talent we have and the versatility of some of our players, I'm really hoping that part of what Butler's doing with the cover two and the very soft coverage is just getting the team acclimated. Because if you think about how people felt about Haley, you can kind of plug in the name Butler and it would almost still apply. Why aren't we doing this? Why aren't we more aggressive? But it evolved into that once, I think, Haley became more familiar with the personnel and once they trusted him too. So I'm hoping that a combination of smart drafting, and again, I hardly ever follow college football, and this year just with LSU's defense, Florida's got an awesome D-back. There are so many talented guys. If we could pick up one of them who's ready to go, preferably a slightly larger guy that could solve maybe some of our tight end problems, and then see what else Butler has up his sleeve once the personnel is comfortable with him, and that would include Golson coming on board. But I'm hoping this is just the beginning, just as it was with Haley, because if you look back at things or read articles about Todd Haley, it's exactly kind of the offensive version of what people are saying on the defensive side of the ball with Butler. So I think this is a big year of transition, but we need to be really, really smart in terms of where we go from here in terms of our coverage schemes, but also how we leverage the personnel we have and what personnel we bring on out of this, you know, coming up in this 2016 draft, because it's very strong in terms of defensive backs, although I don't think Munchak wants a first-round offensive lineman. I think he prefers to develop them himself. So I can't think right now of a priority more urgent than the secondary, which is broken record compared to last year, you know, just because everybody's saying, oh, cornerback, 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 safety, safety, safety. Golson goes and gets hurt. But with Golson healthy and another option in there, I think safety would be the way to go, somebody pretty versatile who can play up in the box and also excels in coverage. Chris, I kind of monopolized that. I'm very passionate about the 2016 draft prospects, but I didn't know if you had anything to add to that before we wind down.
I know you just want to read them doggone draft reports.
I'm going to write those draft reports. I mean, I just couldn't believe, like, power down below. What does that even mean? Who writes like that? I mean, you know, people talk about women being objectified. I want to know how the players feel about, like, their body parts being described that way. Like, that's not okay. I'm going to be an advocate for male NFL players.
Can I ask you one more question about this secondary, too? And I'll let you go because I don't want to monopolize the time either.
No, that's fine.
You know, it's funny. When you bring up the Haley reference, I believe, is spot on. With the talent they have right now, are you surprised this team doesn't seem to run more two-man? I mean, you got the two safeties over the top. If you have smaller, agile guys, get up in guys' faces and let's play the underneath stuff. They're going to get in and out of breaks, but you can break on that stuff, and then you got your safety help over the top. Do you feel they're not running enough of that?
I do, and I think, I mean, the, when you were talking, it's the first time I really thought back to Haley, because I haven't been down on Butler, but I could only hope that he's starting out very basic, and he's going to lead them to plays that aren't necessarily, I don't want to call them gimmicky, because some of those LeBeau plays, anybody, you know, people could see him coming a mile away, like stuff that was innovative, you know, 10 years ago just wasn't cutting it anymore. But I'm hoping to see more things like that, and I'm not sure what the holdup is, but I think the improvement in the secondary, this game wasn't their best, but if you look at kind of the evolution of the secondary from week one, let's say, to last week, I thought that they had improved very well. They seemed more comfortable with the play calls. They seemed it seemed like they were on the same page. And I do think that part of Butler's plan has to be to ease the secondary into some different types of schemes instead of just throwing it at them. And I think given the level of confusion they experienced in week one, he has to know what they're capable of. And if they're basically unable to do something super basic, I'm not a football coach. I think I knew that Gronkowski should have been covered. I mean, if they can't handle that, I'm wondering what more they could handle. So I'm just hoping it's a Haley-like progression where they're doing basic things. Maybe some of the guys are getting frustrated. Maybe they're overplaying a couple things. But I'm hoping that he'll bring more to the table and really get some – like game-changing playmaking personnel, both out of the draft, getting Golson back on the field. I think they've kept Boykin sidelined just because they already gave up a draft pick for the Skokie catastrophe. So I think part of why we're not seeing Boykin is because he needs to sit out, or we'll be looking at giving up a fourth-round draft pick, which we really can't do given our needs, not just in the secondary, but I think offensive line is going to be a bit of a need as well. And, you know, with Heath Miller getting older, we might be looking at needing a tight end. So,
absolutely.
I mean, one thing to consider when you're talking about the defense and the different strategies, you know, what LeBeau did was, I mean, a lot of his blitzes that worked, they were not, it was not because they were super duper exotic or gimmicky. They had the athletes to get it done, and that happened. You know, when the Steelers had some elite players on defense for quite some time, and that led to do it. And I think right now they're building that in the front seven. A lot of the success that we've had on defense this year, especially with the sacks, isn't because we threw a crazy twist blitz or that no one ever saw coming. It's because Bud Dupree got off the ball faster than the offensive
tackle
got back there, or Cameron Hayward destroyed whoever was trying to block him, and they blew up the play, or the coverage was there. You know, I think that what they're doing on defense, they shouldn't try to change too much and just try to blow it up because they gave up two passing touch or just two touchdowns today. But I think what you're seeing is play tighter coverage. I think that Butler is working his way to it, but you also have to remember that is not this team's strength. Blake and Gay and Cortez Allen's on injured reserve now, Cockrell. And Boykin, they're not guys that you can depend on like Darrell Revis to put up at the line of scrimmage and do it every play. Now and then, it worked. Like when Cockrell intercepted Joe Flacco, that was one of those situations where he was playing up tight and they tried to catch the Steelers sleeping with under routes and he took advantage. Occasionally, it works. But the Steelers' strength is on the front seven. The Steelers' strength is in their front seven. And getting heat, stopping the run. They didn't stop the run today, and that really hurt them. And their heat was stifled that much too. And I wouldn't say their heat was stifled because Butler made predictable blitz calls. They didn't get off the ball as well as they have before. And the Chiefs have a decent offensive line. It looks like Eric Fisher. He was the number one overall pick in the draft a few years ago. For a reason, and he's been proving that more and more as he's gotten better in the NFL. What I'm saying overall is that I don't think there's too much scheming that needs to change on defense. I think there's some technical things that they need to work on. I think not having Stephon Tuitt really hurt them this week, and that he's been a huge part of their success over the past several weeks. But all in all, it's just keeping trying to improve, keep trying to get better, work on your keys. Win your one-on-one battles, and that will get you victory. The Steelers won their one-on-one battle last week and the week before. But I'm going to be studying the film, and be sure to check out our film room series this week, because I'll certainly be looking up front and see what happened on both sides of the ball. But I'd be willing to gamble that there were just several plays where the opportunity was there, but they just got stoned by solid offensive line work.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, it's really, really funny to just see them be able to kind of get more aggressive in the front seven, but in the secondary still kind of be building and working towards, a more cohesive unit. So I agree with all those points, man. Great talk.
Same here. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, those were some good callers today.
Yes, they were.
We
a lot better
great
than
callers.
Our caller we had like 2 weeks ago. Did you hear our break caller?
I'm sure it happens often. There was a guy talking about, is it worth sacrificing points if your fantasy player is from another team?
No. It was. I'll tell you that story later.
That sounds like a fun story. It does.
We got pranked by a guy telling a Mike Vick joke, and it was pretty good. If you go back 2 weeks, I think it was the week after the Chargers game. It was the guy got us pretty good. But anyways, moving forward, do we have any other callers, or
we have any callers. So we already discussed the Bengals' upcoming game coming off their bye week with the Steelers, and I'm sure they'll be more podcast talk about that coming up this week. So I think just kind of processing through what happened with the secondary and the defense and looking at mistakes and our third string guy in, although I was hoping, obviously, to come away with a victory against a 1-5 team, that didn't happen, but I don't think it's reason to despair. We've also had many different combinations of players out hurt. Tua was out today. Shazier was out before that. Timmons had the turf toe. So we've kind of not really had our elite top players all on the field at the same time very often. So we have that to look forward to as well, and that should coincide with Big Ben coming back for the team.
Yeah, I wrote an article earlier this week that published this morning talking about why it's been a great season for the front office, and part of that has been we've mitigated through some serious injuries. In the past, when Marquise Pouncey went down, our entire offensive line started to fall apart. If Ben Roethlisberger went down, oh, Lord, we don't know what we're going to do. Those types of things happen to teams, and in the past we haven't responded well to it. Right now this team has a winning record, and they have some really solid wins against quality opponents like the Arizona Cardinals and even the St. Louis Rams. I think they're a good team, they're still finding their way, but that's not an easy team to beat, and they put a stomping on the Browns earlier today. I think that all in all, the team is really weathering the storm of no Ben Roethlisberger, you know, injured players like Ryan Shazier. That this was what his second complete game he completed all season. If you told me before the season that that Ben Roethlisberger and Michael Vick got hurt, and Stephon Tuitt's hurt, and Ryan Shazier's hurt, and Le'Veon Bell was suspended for two games, and Brian Tartavis-Bryant was suspended for four games, and Kelvin Beachum lost for the season, and Marquise Pouncey is possibly lost for the season, I would have said that we'd probably be somewhere in the realm of 2-4, 2-5 right now, not 4-3. But the team is really hanging in there, and I think that these types of the gut wins that we've seen for the past two games before this, today's loss, I think those will show when we get against the tougher opponents late in the season. I think when we play the Broncos, I think you'll see a much more poised team that has grown from these tough wins that they've had to get out.
Yeah, and some breaking news out of the Texans. Arian Foster has torn his Achilles and is out for the season. So this injury bug continues to plague so many different teams. The Bengals have been healthy, and I don't begrudge them that, but this injury situation this season in the NFL has been so extreme. I think the NFL and the NFLPA are going to just have to revisit the preseason training rules, just because it just can't be a coincidence. All of these ligament and tendon problems just seem to be a function, perhaps, of training and conditioning and what they're allowed to do in the off season and the preseason. So, again, Arian Foster has torn his Achilles, is out for the year. So he is someone we can add to the list of season-ending injuries, and that's for the struggling Texans team, which definitely needed him, particularly considering their quarterback situation. So,
no, I agree with you there. I mean, the Texans right now, Bill O'Brien is in a really rough spot. And Arian Foster, you know, you feel bad for the guy. He's a really talented player. He came in under the league undrafted from Tennessee, and he's been a star for many years and really lifted the Texans franchise to help to make them contenders along with Andre Johnson. But injury after injury, it's one of those unfortunate things that happens to a guy. You hope that maybe he can bounce back next year. But it's really the door is closing on his opportunity to continue to be a premier NFL back. And I think this opens up a big opportunity for Alfred Blue. But the Texans are really hurting. They still don't have a quarterback. I don't know if you heard Ryan Mallett, their one quarterback, missed the plane to play this week.
Yeah, he missed the flight. And he overslept another critical day. I think that was in the preseason. But, yeah, he seems to have some problems with his alarm clock and his scheduling. So, anyway, this has been – So this has been Final Score. Unfortunately, it was a sad one with the Steelers' loss to the Kansas City Chiefs. But I think we've all decided no reason to panic. Bright season ahead of us with Ben Roethlisberger's return to the field and Alejandro Villanueva learning his job better and better each week. So, Chris, what are your final thoughts today?
Keep your head up, Steelers fans. It's not that bad. They're 4-3, and they still got a shot. It's a big game next week about the Bengals. Be sure to read this week on Behind the Steel Curtain. We got winners and losers coming up before the day's out. We got Danny Boston's report card. We'll keep you up to date with the news on Ben Roethlisberger, whether he'll be healthy, whether Stephon Tuitt will be back, and what the Steelers look to do. We got a lot of questions, but we'll be doing lots of breakdowns, bringing every bit of analysis to get you ready for next Sunday.
Absolutely. So my final thoughts are go Steelers.
Yes.
Go Steelers.
Go Steelers.